Thank you for tuning into this weekend's homily here at St. Jerome Catholic Church in Walbridge, Ohio. Today's homily was given by Father Anthony Cosi, pastor here at St. Jerome, on Sunday, February 14th, 2021, the sixth Sunday in Ordinary Time. Now here is Father Anthony.
I think most of us can sympathize with the leper in today's gospel, having to social distance and quarantine from the rest of the community. In the ancient world, they didn't know what this disease was. Today, we know it as Hansen's disease. But back then, they didn't have a cure for it. And leprosy today, we can help cure that bacterial disease. But it was a disease that gave you sores on your face, ulcers everywhere. Sometimes they would pus. Sometimes it would attack the nervous system. People would become disfigured or sometimes lose limbs. So to the ancients, it was very deadly for them. So they had to go to the priest and ask him, you know, am I clean or unclean? Or we would say kind of an educated person, which were typically the political leaders or the priests at that time. If you were unclean, you had to quarantine. You weren't even allowed to go and worship with other people in the temple. You had to live outside, ostracized from other people. This gospel passage that we read today moved the hearts of many men and women who became great missionaries in our church. Father Damien of Malachi, was canonized a saint in 2009, listened to this gospel passage and was moved to leave Belgium and go to Hawaii, to the Kalupapa Peninsula of Malachi. And to those of us that are from the Midwest, as we sit here kind of in the icy snow, we think, man, I sure would want to go to Hawaii, drink coconuts, have a little luau, whatever that may be. But it wasn't so where Father Damien was. It's actually the coast, the cliffs that go off into the ocean are some of the most beautiful in all the world, according to travelers. But what's dangerous about the waters is that they're shark-infested, and it's very dangerous to get to, which is why the United States government in the 1860s quarantined people with lepers there. I believe there are about 8,000 lepers that live there. Today, the descendants of those people, I think there's about 20-some, they still live there. They've been cured of Hansen's disease, but they live in their ancestral area in Malachi. Father Damien left there in response to the needs of the people. And when he arrived, when he was about 33 years old, he wanted to live with them. The priests were supposed to be on a rotating basis every couple years. They would rotate, put a new priest there, et cetera, and move them out. But Father Damien said, I want to live among the lepers. I want to be one of them. That's exactly what he did. And when he died 16 years later, he had leprosy. He was with them his entire life, and the people of Hawaii loved Father Damien. Father Damien never got another priest usually to come by the island, and so when he knew that there'd be a cruise ship or somebody coming by, a passenger ship, he'd scream from the mainland, or he'd get out there and say, is there a priest on that ship? And they'd say, yeah. And he'd go, I want to go to confession. And they said to him, well, you can't board this ship because we don't want you to spread leprosy to everybody. And he'd say, that's fine. I'll just shout my confession from my boat to the other guy. And I think about that time, because I think about, that's probably what it's going to be like at the end of our life. Nothing is hidden. All of our sins are revealed. But that's how much St. Damien wanted the sacrament of confession, that he was willing to be embarrassed by other people he didn't care. He just wanted the grace. Father Damien died. The lepers and the people of Hawaii loved him. He was their first canonized saint in 2009. All the states in our union are allowed to pick two representatives, two heroes from their state, to be emulated in statues in the Capitol building. And so the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. has St. Damien of Malachi. When he was canonized in 2009, President Barack Obama said great praise of Father Damien. He was a voice for the voiceless. They loved him. And it surprises me that last August, there were congressmen and women who were calling for the removal of Father Damien's statue from the Capitol building because they said he was an empiricist imposing his European culture on the Hawaiians, when in reality, that wasn't it at all. He lived with them and died just like them. The bishop of that area knew that Father Damien needed help in his hospital system, so he left and he went to California from Hawaii. And he asked every religious group of sisters, can you come to Hawaii, you and your sister nurses, and minister in my hospitals? every single religious community in California turned down that bishop. That the bishop had to leave and go to Nevada, and then he had to work his way all the way across the United States asking every religious community to come help him on Hawaii. Every religious community turned him down except one. In Syracuse, New York, Sister Mary Ann Cope said, "We will go." And she took her sisters to Hawaii. And when they got there, Sister kind of was met with some animosity because people didn't like them. They hated the sister. They said, "You're taking our jobs from us." But when they saw how much love and care they had for the patients, they were moved. And they fell in love with the sisters. Kind of like how our Catholic hospitals used to be at one time, when we had sisters that would walk around and pray with you, maybe help you out with your linens, or if you needed a wet towel, or just to be with you, to give that motherly comfort. Totally different than what we get now sometimes in the hospital. You know, we have great nurses and doctors that try their best, but we're missing kind of that motherly care, you know, the chicken noodle soup kind of lady that comes in and helps you out. But when Sister Mary Ann Cope arrived at the hospitals in Hawaii, she goes, "These need to be cleaned up, they're filthy." She had a reputation of having immaculate bedrooms, immaculate office spaces. She said, "These people will have a clean place to rest while they recover." She cared that much about them that she didn't want them living in squalor while they were sick. She also called back to the mainland and had her sisters send her over magazines and fabric because she said these people don't have decent clothes. So the sisters studied what were the local fashions of the time in the 1800s, and they cut out dresses for the girls and put bows in their hair and made nice shirts for the guys to give them a sense of dignity with their faces and limbs missing, to let them know that they are human and they have that dignity. Our gospel passage, having the man who has leprosy, he comes to Jesus because he wants his dignity restored. He says to him, "If you will it, you can make me healed?" "No." "Cured?" "No." "Clean." "If you will it, you can make me clean. It's okay if I still have leprosy, but I want to go back to the temple and worship with my people. I miss God. I want to be with God." So there's a lesson for us. In the midst of sickness, we have an opportunity. There's always an opportunity every time we get sick. When we're sick, do we just wallow in our own misery? Or do we use it as an opportunity to grow closer to God? The leper today uses his leprosy as a chance to grow closer to God. And that's what sickness provides. Now on the receiving end, if we're the caregivers, we have an opportunity too. We're not sick. And we encounter a sick person, do we avoid them? Or do we act like St. Mary Ann Cope and St. Damien of Malachi and enter in and to help them in a loving and compassionate way? We were all sick at one time because of sin, and we were baptized and we were cleansed just like the leper. We no longer have those ulcers and things clinging to our spiritual souls. And every time we go to confession, it cleanses us again. And then what do we do with that when we leave? Well, did the leper respond how Jesus wanted him to respond? No. Listen to what Jesus said. "Tell no one, go to the priest, do what Moses prescribed, and that will be enough, and then they will know." What does he do? Doesn't go to the priest, doesn't do what Moses prescribes, and he goes and spreads it abroad. He blabs his big mouth so loud that it makes it impossible for Jesus to go anywhere. How many other people need to be cured, but because of this man's way of being, caused a stumbling block for others to come to Jesus Christ? If he would have done what Jesus said, he would have done this. He would have taken two birds, which is what Moses prescribed, and he would have watched the priest. And the priest would have taken one of the birds, sacrificed it, dumped its blood on the altar, taken the other bird, dipped that bird in the other bird's blood, and let it fly away free, symbolizing that one was sacrificed for the other. And he would have saw an image of Jesus Christ, that you are sacrificing your blood for me and going forward. In our life, are we appreciative of the healing we've received, the gift that Jesus gives us? And how do we respond? It always has to be a response of God, not about us and building us up, but building up God, which in turn makes us grow and flourish as well. Perhaps we can think about that next time we decide to open our mouths. Are we blabbing about ourselves in texts and on Facebook and everywhere else? Or are we proclaiming the things that are going to build up other people? Why do I want to post something on Facebook that's going to make another person feel bad? Look at how great I am so you can feel bad about your life. I'm going to go share the good news about Jesus to make you feel bad about yourself. Maybe God doesn't want me to post that. Maybe God wants me to keep my mouth shut and pray for that person. The choice is ours. And so a lesson for us today. Sickness is an opportunity, and then we have to respond in kind to the gift God gives us. You'll also notice in your pews there's a card from Bishop Thomas, Where Charity and Love Prevail, and every year we look at the bishop's missionary endeavors. We give money to the diocese in two ways. One's called the assessment, the other one's called the annual Catholic appeal. The assessment we automatically pay. The annual Catholic appeal is when the bishop appeals to you to ask you if you'll help him out. The assessment goes to pay for all the temporal things, the building and the salaries of people that minister for the bishop. The annual Catholic appeal goes to all the bishop's spiritual endeavors that he does, ministering to all 19 counties in Northwest Ohio. I kind of compare it to our Mother Teresa Fund, how we give extra to help out people's spiritual needs, and we minister to them in various ways. So to showcase that, Bishop Thomas has a short video to share with you how he is ministering in the Diocese of Toledo and is asking for your help to minister for the spiritual needs of his mission here in the Diocese of Toledo.
Thank you for tuning into this weekend's homily here at St. Jerome Catholic Church in Walbridge, Ohio. Be sure to tune in each week as Father unpacks the scriptures and shares real-life stories that help bring scripture to our lives. Please join us for Mass Tuesday through Friday at 8 a.m., Saturdays at 4:30 p.m., and Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. God bless.